Welcome to Torah Rimecha Nach Yomi. My name is Adina Schmidman, and we are excited to begin Divrei Hayamim, the concluding Sfarim, in this remarkable two-year journey. As we finish this cycle of Torah Rimecha Nach Yomi and prepare for the next cycle, your learning experience and takeaways are valuable. Please go to ou.org/women/nachsurvey, NACHSURVEY, to share your thoughts and insights. For Torah Rimecha January 22 Siyum updates, please sign up at ou.org/women/Siyum. Mazel Tov, and now let's continue with Divrei Hayamim Aleph with Mrs. Stacy Goldman.
Hello, my name is Stacy Nechama Goldman. Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU's Women's Initiative. My name is Stacy Nechama Goldman, and today we will be studying Divrei Hayamim Aleph, Perek Bet, Chapter 2. With the opening of this chapter, we have reached the children of Yisrael, otherwise known as Jacob. This chapter will continue to expand upon the line of Yehuda, the ancestor of David HaMelech. If you look carefully at the order of the tribes, as written in the first two psukim, a question immediately arises. Why are they written in this order? Listen carefully as I read the verses to you and see if you can hear what is odd. Ele b'nei Yisrael. These are the children of Israel. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Uzvulun, Dan, Yosef, Ubinyamin, Naphtali, Gad, Ve'asher. Did you notice that Bilhah's two children, Dan and Naphtali, were separated by Rachel's children, Yosef and Binyamin? Before we attempt to explain that anomaly, it is important to note that throughout the Tanakh, whenever the tribes are listed, they are almost always in a slightly different order. One Midrash explains that this is to show that there is no favoritism in the eyes of Hashem. In our specific case, the Malbim quotes a Midrash that says it was in the merit of Rachel giving her handmaid Bilhah to Yaakov, who in turn birthed Dan, that she merited to give birth to Yosef and Binyamin after years of infertility. This is why Dan is mentioned first. After listing the 12 tribes, the chapter continues with a very detailed list of the descendants of Yehuda. Mitzudat David explains that this is to honor David, who came from Yehuda. We are first told about the three children of Yehuda that he had with his first wife, the daughter of Shua, the Canaanite. Would Yehuda really have married a Canaanite woman? Rashi, in Bereishit chapter 38, quotes Targum Onkelos, who translates Canaanite as merchant. The Canaanim must have been so ubiquitous in the world of commerce that their name became synonymous with this profession of merchant. The verse briefly alludes to the sin of his oldest son, Er. Vayhi Er, Bechor Yehuda, Ra be'enei Hashem, vayimitehu. And it was that Er, the firstborn of Yehuda, was evil in the eyes of Hashem, and he killed him. What did Er do? If you look back to Bereishit chapter 38, you can read about how Er refused to impregnate his wife Tamar, and Hashem put him to death. Yehuda then directed his second son, Onan, to marry his older brother's widow so that their child would carry his dead brother's name, a prototype of the Levirate marriage. Onan also refused to impregnate Tamar, and he was also killed. Yehuda, oblivious to his son's heinous actions, told Tamar to go back to her father's house until his third son, Shelah, would be old enough to marry. He had no intention, however, to carry out this commitment. Tamar, in an act of desperation to carry on her dead husband's name, dressed as a prostitute, where she knew she would see Yehuda. Yehuda propositioned her, not knowing that she was his daughter-in-law, and she then conceived twins who are mentioned in verse 4, Peretz and Zerach. Why does our verse only mention Er's sin? Malbim explains that Er acted without any reason, while Onan, knowing that any son he conceived with Tamar would be considered his older brother's son, had an aspect of logic in behaving as he did. In relating Tamar's children, the verse explicitly refers to her as Yehuda's daughter-in-law, V'tamar kalato. Rashi, on our parak, expresses surprise that the verse would contain information that would explicitly damage the reputation of King David's great-great-great-great, etc., grandfather Yehuda. After all, Divrei Hayamim leaves out the entire story of Bathsheba. Divrei Hayamim is seen as a book that strives to glorify David and leaves out some of the less flattering stories that can be found in the book of Shmuel. The family tree continues in verse 5 with the sons of Peretz, who is the ancestor of King David. His line is interrupted with a short list in verses 6 through 8 of the children of his twin, Zerach. This list is actually quite confusing, as there does not seem to be a direct genealogical line connecting all the names mentioned. Malbim tells us that this is a common phenomena throughout the lists of names mentioned in our book. He explains that Ezra, in writing the book, copied from a much larger book of family relationships that went into great detail about each member of each family. Ezra was interested in including certain people who served a specific need in giving over the history. This is why verse 7 mentions someone named Carmi in the midst of the descendants of Zerach without telling us who Carmi's father was. Indeed, he was from the line of Zerach, but his father and grandfather were not necessary to mention. If you look closely at this verse, Uvnei Carmi, Achar Ocher Yisrael, Asher Ma'al Bacherem, the sons of Carmi, Achar, the troubler of Israel, who committed a trespass against the prescribed thing. You will see another result of this phenomena of skipping names. It speaks about the sons in the plural, but only mentions one. This is because he did have more than one son, but Achar was the only one relevant to the history. And how was he relevant? Radak explains that Acher was Achan, who we read about in the book of Yehoshua in chapter 7. There, in addition to reading the complete genealogy connecting Achan to Carmi to Zerach, we also read about how he stole items that had been consecrated to Hashem and was put to death as a result. Why to record his name here as Acher instead of Achan? Mitzudat Tzion explains that Achar means to confuse and destroy, which is what he did to Bnei Israel, since many died in the Battle of Ai as a result of his stealing. Having listed the relevant descendants of Zerach, the chapter continues with the descendants of Peretz, including his two sons, Chetzron and Chamul. Chetzron, as the ancestor of David, is expounded upon with his three sons, Yerachmel, Ram, and Klubi, otherwise known as Kalev. The line of Ram will lead us all the way to David HaMelech. Verses 13 through 15 list six sons of Yishai before concluding with David the seventh, David HaShvi'i. This is interesting for two reasons. One, David is spelled in our verse, Dalet, Vav, Yud, Dalid, when normally it is spelled just three letters, Dalid, Vav, Dalid. And two, when we read about the anointing of David in chapter 16 of the book of Shmuel, there were seven brothers who preceded him. It appears from there that David was the eighth brother. Rashi explains that both these things are for David's honor, the full spelling of his name and the fact that the lineage stops with him. The seventh brother mentioned in Shmuel might have been from another mother, or may have even been younger than David. In that case, there was no need to continue with the genealogy, as the pearl we mentioned from our summary of chapter 1 has been discovered. The chapter concludes this family line with the mention of David's sisters, Tsruya and Abigail, who both had sons who would be formative to establishing David's kingship. We then return in verse 18 to expound upon the line of Kalev, the son of Chetzron, who was mentioned above in verse 9 as Klubi. Who is Kalev, the son of Chetzron? When we read about the spies in the book of Bamidbar, chapter 13, the spy from the tribe of Yehuda was referred to as Kalev ben Yefuneh. The Gemara in Sota 11b explains that they are one and the same. He was called the son of Yefuneh in Bamidbar because he turned away from the root lifnot, to turn, from the council of the spies. Our pasuk also mentions what appears to be up to three wives in the next two verses. V'kalev ben Chetzron holid et Azuva isha v'et Yeriot v'ele banaha yesher v'shovav v'ardon v'tamot Azuva v'ikach lo Kalev et Efrat v'telelo et Chur. Kalev, son of Chetzron, had children by his wife Azuva and by Yeriot. These were her sons, Yesher, Shovav, and Ardon. When Azuva died, Kalev married Efrat, who bore him Chur. Who were Azuva, Yeriot, and Efrat? While some commentaries say they are, in fact, three different women, two wives and a concubine, the Gemara in Sota 12b tells us they were all actually Miriam. At first, she was Azuva, abandoned, since everyone had abandoned her and no one wanted to marry her since she was sickly and unattractive. Yeriot was because her face was pale like curtains, the meaning of Yeriot. Kalev saw beyond her outer appearance and married her for the sake of heaven. The Gemara understands the names of their sons mentioned in verse 18, Yesher, Shovav, and Ardon, as descriptions of Kalev rather than children. Kalev set himself straight, Yashar, broke his evil inclination against the spies, Sibev, and Ardon is from Vered, a rose, because Miriam became beautiful after they married. Efrat is also Miriam. The Midrash in Shemot Rabbah 1:17 explains that Israel was fruitful and multiplied through her efforts when she was the midwife Puah during the Egyptian decrees to kill all the baby boys. The chapter continues to list the descendants of Chetzron, the son of Peretz. This chapter highlights the purpose of Divrei Hayamim as described in Rut Rabbah 2:1, which states that Chronicles was only given for exegetical purposes. We will continue to learn many interesting stories about our beloved biblical ancestors in Tanakh as we read through these genealogies and try to see the deeper meaning in them. This chapter, in particular, gave us insight into the ancestors of David HaMelech and alluded to some of the less flattering behavior of his illustrious ancestors, which reminds us that greatness can sprout from the most unlikely circumstances. Thank you for studying together, Li'ilui Nishmat, Malka Esther, Bat Tzvi Yosef.